What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Happy Tuesday morning, Junks listeners, whether you're in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, you're listening on the Odyssey app, which is free. You can listen to us on the go wherever you might be. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, just go to cropmetcalf.com. Do that today. I am Cakes, at Money Metal Cakes on your Twitter. I'm joined by Jason Bishop, who apparently is a little under the weather. So hopefully he's feeling okay.
Not feeling great. I'm trying to stick it out.
Do what you can.
Feel like I'm coming down with something. I don't know what it is.
Can't make it, then go home. It's very simple. John Paul Flame is here.
I was looking for the story. I saw it this morning. It was a story about winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it said...
Winter sucks.
Basically... Half of the month during the winter, people don't feel right.
Yeah. For some reason...
That's a terrible percentage.
My allergies are bothering me more this winter than they ever have, I think, in my entire life. And it's weird. Like, my allergies shouldn't bother me. It's the dead of winter, and the pollen and most of the allergens should be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But here I sit with watery eyes and a stuffy nose.
It just shows you're probably allergic to other things you don't even realize.
I'm sure. I am.
Yeah. Here's the article. A recent nationwide survey reveals that Americans spend less than half of their winter days feeling completely healthy.
Mm, correct.
With respondents reporting they feel 100% fit for only 16 days during an average winter month.
Hey, but you know what? You know what makes me feel better? Opening an envelope which is just a crisp, clean $20 bill in it from a listener.
Yeah,
I don't even know that the listener sent his name.
What does your note say? It probably says the same thing mine says. Mine says, JP... Thank you for sharing you knowledge and thoughts of the day.
Mine says, Cakes, thanks for your enthusiasm. I'm kind of joning. I shouldn't because he just gave me $20. And you know what? I'm going to hook him. Enthusiasm making the show so good. Jay.
Wow. That's a pretty nice
What'd you get, Jason?
I got, thank you for your, I can't even read. Thank you for your calm, rational thoughts, keeping the show on track.
Oh, my God.
Look at this guy.
All right.
What does yours say, thank EB?
You. I got a whole thing.
You got a real...
They sent me a book.
Oh, you know what?
I don't know.
That's one of, I think, two books that I've currently started reading and
this
I've stalled
book.
On.
Why, is that it a book? Popular book right now?
Well, it's about the disappearance of the Lion Sisters in Montgomery County, like in the early to mid-70s. They disappeared from Kensington, by the way.
Yeah.
Or Wheaton. They were last seen, I think, outside of Wheaton Plaza.
So he gave
Plaza.
Me a book, and, you know, I guess I'm vaguely familiar with that case.
Yeah. Did he send his manifesto?
And then he sent the manifesto.
Yeah, because, I mean, ours are very short and on thank you cards. And EB's is on, like,
says, EB,
a Ten Commandments tablet.
Perhaps you remember this case growing up. I know you don't read, but maybe you could flip through the photos. All right, that's actually funny.
That is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. And then he says something about, it's nice your son played the only sport native to North America, so a reference to lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
Both he remains healthy. I'm sorry that you're so poorly paid that you have to ask listeners for pay. I don't know what fair compensation for reading this is. I hope $20 is enough. Maybe you could watch Buster Keaton stunt on YouTube.
I don't know.
Who's Buster Keaton?
I don't know, man. God bless this guy.
Hey, he gave me a free $20. I don't have to read the book.
Yeah, mine comes attached.
Yeah, yours has strings attached.
I might send the $20 back. But
Buster Keaton did a bunch of insane stunts, apparently.
Buster Keaton.
I don't know why he's asking you to watch.
I thought Buster Keaton was like Buster an MLB baseball writer.
No,
that's Buster only.
Right.
So thank you.
Buster Keaton
thank
looked like he was alive in about 1930.
It says in one of his many physical stunts was in the 1928 film, The Cameraman. Buster
Keaton.
Yeah,
I thought he was like an old school guy. That
rides a collapsing scaffold to the ground.
So he's a stuntman from back in the day.
Okay. All right. I'm cool. Thank you.
You guys are talking about the weather. Yesterday felt great compared to you know, the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday was 45 degrees and sunny and no wind, and today is just terrible.
But I still have nagging snow because we have so many inches. You know, my backyard doesn't get sun.
Yeah, no, it's going to take a while to melt
it. So annoying.
I've got an ice block right underneath my gutters, and I have a bunch of icicles.
Yeah.
And then the icicles dripping, and then it's just formed this ice. And I had to take the shovel like a hammer over and over and over again.
If you don't,
and I still could not get out some of the ice block.
Yeah.
And I have ice melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've thrown that down a million times, and it's done nothing to these ice blocks right underneath the gutter. I don't know how to solve that riddle.
Dripping icicles that then will form like an ice sheet on a step.
Yeah.
If you don't take care of it, or you sleep on it, and you step on it, that's certain death. Yeah. I mean, you're just gonna fall back and smash your head, and then just die right on the spot.
Right.
So you got to be careful out there.
Yeah, it is annoying that all that stuff just won't go away. And now I think we're in for a couple of days of pretty cold weather.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of doomed.
Saturday is supposed to be 50 though, so that'll help.
All right. So 50 should it's hopefully gonna rain, that clears though. It up.
It's gonna rain on Saturday. Rain on top of snow. Not
See,
good.
Winter weather kind of around the holidays is cool. But then, like, the next 2.5 to 3 months, it just sucks. Mm-hmm. It just stinks. Get rid of it, please.
I'm out on winter.
I hate it.
That's why my friends that live in Florida, they're like, they freaking love it. Mm-hmm. There's something to be said for seasons.
It's true.
They don't really miss them.
But it all depends on where you ultimately live. Because our guy, Bikey Botts, who we all know, used to live in Phoenix. Drab used to live in Phoenix. And he said it was like living on the surface of the sun.
Well, that's a little different.
He's
Phoenix
like, you can't go outside
level.
During the summer.
Phoenix is another level.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd rather be really hot than really cold.
Agreed. Well, I've said that for years.
I've pitched it to him.
I agree.
When I text with Mike, I'm like, hey, you miss Phoenix when there's 6 inches or 8 inches of snow on the ground? He's like, no. He's like, I will take this weather over living on the star surface with the surface.
Well, I wouldn't live in the desert, but I mean, I'd rather go outside and sweat than just feel miserable in the wind and cold.
Yeah,
as long as your air conditioning works.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. That's hand in hand.
So yesterday, I just completely destroyed the 24-hour fast. I mean, it was. I gotta tell you, it wasn't even that hard. I thought it was going to be way harder, Cakes. Mm-hmm. I got to be a little cocky here.
What do you mean?
It wasn't that hard. I just thought it would be
you
a lot harder.
You didn't eat for 24 hours?
Yeah, all I had was water and black coffee. Okay?
Starting when to when?
I don't know, 8 p.m. 8 p.m. to 8 p.m.
So you didn't eat it all yesterday, no lunch, no dinner.
Right, remember you guys were eating?
Yeah.
And I was like, I bet I did want to eat. You know, who's kidding who? But it wasn't like desperate. I was like, why is it, I was just shocked it wasn't that hard.
Sure.
But then I made a huge blunder. I pre-read all what you're supposed to eat, like, correctly to break a fast, slowly metabolize food again, right? I was like those guys on Survivor when they get a treat,
sure.
You know, and all of a sudden they're sick. I ate so much. My stomach was so full that even this morning right now, I still feel gross. I still feel gross.
What did you pummel?
Well, I tried to eat clean.
Okay.
I had avocado, chicken, broccoli. They said have a fermented food, so I had a little bit of kimchi. But what did me over is my wife made a big soup, and I added it's just too much. It was the volume of food. It was all clean.
You were overwhelmed.
Food. The volume of food was too much. And here I am, I don't know, 8 hours later, and my stomach still feels... I feel worse now than I did.
You're living a
when
life of regret right
a
now.
A little bit of regret.
Yeah.
Ate too much.
Are you going to do the same thing today?
No. Oh. I mean, why would I? It ain't the greatest thing on earth, but it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. But I will say this. I don't know if you guys had this. Jason, you probably didn't, but JP and Cakes probably did. When I got home yesterday, so here I am in this freaking water fast that I was trying to do. I went home. I had no water. I said,
water.
What?
I had so much water.
No, I turned on the sink.
Water.
Coming out of the faucets. It was shut off.
Now, Kensington issue? Because I didn't have that issue.
I think it was a Montgomery County thing, but maybe not. You didn't hit you guys. But like we had a lot of water main breaks in like Bethesda, Kensington, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they had warned that they wanted people to like limit their water consumption.
I got that warning too.
Because they didn't want to cut it off.
Right.
Well, I guess they cut it off. Now, luckily, it was only for a couple hours, but there was a mild sense of panic that I had that the only thing I could have right now is friggin' water and there's no water coming out of my faucet.
Right. Even that you can't have.
Even that I can't have. What is going on?
I mean, that's water bottles.
We did have a few, but I sent my daughter out to get another case
right
before they all were gone.
Need some more rations, more provisions.
And a few hours later, he came back.
Good. Yeah. Good. You're made whole.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. All good. All good. But so, it is dicey, though. You know, when they turn the water back on and it looks a little, the color's
brown.
A little off.
Yeah, it's brown. It's,
you got to let it run for a while.
Yeah, you got to let it filter through.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, when we come back, we will get into the Junk Sports page. We'll recap the Rams-Vikings playoff game. Spoiler alert, it was pretty one-sided. The Cowboys are searching for a new head coach and more. We'll do that next here on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up later on the Junks, we will talk to an old friend of the show, Dan Miller, who's the play-by-play voice of the Lions.
He's
in
great.
Detroit. He used to be on Team 980.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Many, many moons ago.
Doc and Dan.
That's right. So he's going to join us coming up at 8:25. So looking forward to reconnecting with him.
Well, he used to work with the, what's the Orioles beat writer? The big guy. Valdez, help me out.
I don't know off the top of my head.
He's an Orioles guy. He's kind of a bigger guy. I'm spacing his name. He did the middays with him.
I thought he did it with Doc Walker.
No, he did that after, I believe. But
you're talking about the older guy?
Yeah, the older guy who's always on Masson.
He was like a baseball geek.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I know who you're talking about. Phil Wood.
Yeah, Dan Miller and Phil Wood.
Okay, that's right. That's a blast from the past.
They used to do the show. I think that was at night. I think they did like a 7 to 10.
And you were as an intern?
I was an intern that year, yeah.
Did they make you like wash their cars or like go fetch coffee or anything like that?
No, just had to go print stories out and get clips cut. And
none of the stuff you've made the interns do.
They didn't stoop that low.
Yeah. All right, so Dan Miller will join us at 8:25. We'll talk about the upcoming Lions Commanders matchup this Saturday night. And scheduled to join us at 9 o'clock is Brian Robinson from the Washington Commanders.
Very nice.
But let's get into the Junk Sports page. Go talk about what happened last night in the NFL and more.
I tried to watch a little bit of the first quarter, and then this morning it was on NFL Network, so I watched probably a half. But we are officially into the divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the six games, if you include the Rams, technically it wasn't a home game, but you know, because they moved it to a neutral field, but they were the home team. Five out of the six home teams win. This was destruction. This was the Rams 27, the Vikings 9. They sacked Sam Darnold 9 times.
He was overwhelmed.
He threw a pick. He also fumbled. There was a scoop and score. Verse took that to the house. On that particular play, he had Hockenson wide open. Mm-hmm. He just was not looking downfield. He was holding the ball. I'm not saying it was all on him, the 9 sacks, but when I was watching, he was just holding the ball way too long.
Right.
You know, I'd probably split it down the middle. The offensive line clearly wasn't good. They weren't prepared for all the blitzes. But just an awful day for Sam Darnold. 9 sacks.
He may have fumbled away a pretty big bag of money with the last two performances. And I know his head coach, Kevin O'Connell, basically said, look, you got to look at his entire body of work. He was very good this season. Just wasn't very good last night.
But in the games that really counted.
Wow, in the Lions game and in this game, just did not perform very well in either one.
Yeah.
So, if you're the Vikings, if he had won this game, you might harbor thoughts of, well, we'll keep him around for another year or two. But they drafted J.J. McCarthy. If McCarthy's ready to go, I'm just going to toss the keys to the second-year player.
I mean, if Darnold wins last week and they win the division and they're the one seed and they're hosting, mm-hmm. and clearly even if they didn't win that game and they beat the Rams last night and they advanced to the divisional round, different story maybe. Mm-hmm. But when you lose your two biggest games of the year, I could see why people would say that.
Tough decision, I think. I think the safer play is bring back Darnold on a smaller contract. You're not going to give him $50-60 million a year.
Yeah.
Have an out and then see where McCarthy is. McCarthy's had multiple surgeries, right? He had the meniscus repair and then he had something else after that.
Well, I don't know. Well, the meniscus is no big deal.
I'm going to bank on him being ready for training camp.
I think he'd be ready. I just would worry about him being injury prone. I think he maybe had some sort of a cleanup surgery. Uh-huh. It just doesn't inspire much confidence in me. I don't know enough about his medical history, but look, he limped in, and last night he was the number one quarterback this year on passes 20 yards or more downfield. Mm-hmm. So a really good deep ball thrower, helped, of course, by Justin Jefferson and his receivers. He was 1 for 7 on throws 20 yards or more downfield.
My guess
yesterday.
Is, listen, he played great, and Cakes called it, so Cakes should get a little back padding there, that he would flourish in O'Connell's system and with Justin Jefferson, et cetera. But my guess is this is the outlier year of his career. That
probably.
Even if he came back to L.A., he's probably not going to duplicate the overall numbers he put up.
Maybe not. And look, there are going to be teams.
Guess.
Would the Pittsburgh Steelers be interested in Sam Darnold?
Possibly.
Because I think Russell Wilson's going to be a free agent. Justin Fields is going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
Is that an upgrade over Russell Wilson?
I don't know.
It depends.
We'll see. I mean, it kind of depends on the system.
I would say yes, but as long as you weed out these games like he had against the Lions and the Rams to close out the season, if you can make those go away and play like you did in the first 14, 15 games, then yes, clearly an upgrade.
And then his two biggest threats, Jefferson and Jordan Addison, had a total of 16 targets, but they only caught the ball 8 times.
Right.
So they just... Either they weren't open and the Rams secondary did a great job covering that up, or Darnold just wasn't seeing him. He was holding the ball on too long.
It just seemed like he was under duress.
He was, but he also, there was times where he held the ball on too long. He could have got rid of it.
They showed one clip last night. I might have been watching Peyton and Eli, and it was his receivers were all 20, 25 yards downfield, and it was a corner blitzing at him, and he had nothing. Mm-hmm. He had nothing. Like, what... You know, he's not, I'm not saying he's unathletic, but he's not the most mobile of quarterbacks to get out there and just run all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't have much of a chance.
It's,
I don't know.
It's not, it wasn't running. He's got to throw the ball away. He didn't throw the ball away. He's taking sacks 10 seconds into a play. Throw the ball away on 3rd and 8.
He's been in the league long enough to know that he's got to get rid of the ball.
To that point, there was the controversial play where Stafford was getting sacked and he flicked it.
Mm-hmm.
And
got away with it.
I mean, he did get away with it.
It's a fumble.
He clearly was flicking it. There's no doubt. But
Or recognize that there's guys coming off the edges. Just recognize that. You've been in the league long enough and dump it off. Because, I mean, like I said, Hockenson was wide open. Hockenson, if he throws to Hockenson on that play before he gets sacked and fumbled, Hockenson goes for 50 yards. Anyway, so Troy Aikman was asked by Scott Van Pelt after the game what he thought about Sam Darnold's future, and this is what he said.
Yeah, these last 2 weeks will have a big impact on his future, not only what that may look like for the Minnesota Vikings, but a big impact on what that may look like for him going to another team. Is there going to be the big payout that looked inevitable a few weeks ago? May not be quite as big as what Sam or others thought. These are the games that matter. He knows that. Every quarterback that plays in this league knows that. And when you get into these games, that's what you're judged on. And it's not all on him. There were a lot of people that contributed to them not playing better last week and then again this week. But ultimately, the quarterback, especially more so in today's game than ever before, the quarterback is expected to overcome those things. And so it's a tough way to finish. I said it during the ball game. It doesn't really matter if you win 14 games. Not that you got to go win the Super Bowl because only one team gets to do that. But when you don't even win a playoff game, you're lumped in with all the teams really that didn't even make the postseason. So this is a tough one. And for Kevin O'Connell with a good team again this year, had one 2 years ago, to come away without a playoff victory is a hard pill to swallow.
Vikings first team with 14 wins to lose in the wild card round.
Yeah. Also, the 9 sacks cost them 82 yards.
Yeah.
That's the most yardage ever on sack totals in the history of the NFL.
Right.
They gave up almost a full football field.
Heard him compared to Kirk Cousins, and it wasn't in a flattering way. It was like, put up some stats in the regular season, losing the playoffs.
Wonder where my man Kirky's going to wind up during the offseason. I don't know.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of bidders based on how it ended for him.
I mean, he's going to get a job somewhere. I don't know if it's a starter or as a backup, but he'll land somewhere.
Well, Kirk want to be? He's made so much money, right? Guy's probably made $300-400 million.
He's made so much.
So much. I mean, would he at this point in his career want to be a backup? He's got young kids, I'm assuming.
I think he's just a football lifer.
You think he is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then he will.
I think. I mean,
then he would.
I would guess.
Got such a nice life. I might just want to hang out.
There's
going to
be
silly.
There'll be some desperate.
Yeah, but remember his, if you saw the behind the scenes, his like hidden closet.
With all
and
his
he
accolades.
Had a space for a Lombardi.
Yeah. Well, that space is going to, I mean, unless he latches on with,
yeah.
I don't know, like the Bills or something, or the Chiefs, it's probably going to remain empty.
Career earnings.
Or the Ravens.
$294 million for Kirk Cousins.
He's killing it.
Yeah. Think about it. Yeah,
and he's got 3 years left on this deal. Now, I don't know what they can do with it, but next year he's slated to make 27.5. 2026, he's slated to make 45.
No, the Falcons are going to get
2027, 45.
They're going to pull the ripcord and they're going to eat some of that dead money. I mean, they're not just going to keep paying Kirk Cousins when Michael Penix is the guy they're going to start the season with next year.
Mm-hmm. Did Penix do enough to inspire them to be their day one starter next year?
I think so.
He did.
I mean, it's a very small sample size, but I'd be stunned if they trotted out Kirk Cousins as the week one starter.
Yeah, I don't think Kirk is the answer there at this point.
I think it's Penix, obviously.
Yeah.
He finished with 3 touchdowns, 3 picks.
It was just like an average. It wasn't terrible, right?
But there's a handful of teams that are going to be looking for quarterbacks. And it's not going to be like last year where there were 6 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. There's just not that many worthy first-round picks coming out of college, maybe a couple. But, you know, there's more than 2 teams that need a quarterback.
Like, if you're the Giants, why wouldn't you bring in Kirk Cousins to mentor whatever young quarterback you're going to draft? I mean, I would at least consider that.
I mean, the Jets are going to need a quarterback.
The Browns probably need a quarterback.
Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles again.
Yeah,
he's a nightmare. Doubt they're going to go with Jameis Winston as their opening day starter.
Think so.
Titans obviously need a quarterback. The Raiders need a quarterback. The Giants need a quarterback. I mean, the Saints maybe need a quarterback. I mean, this is just a handful of teams, and there might be a couple of desperate teams that'll go out and say, you know what? There's not a rookie to draft.
Right.
I mean, maybe they draft one in the third round.
They're
going to
find jobs.
Yeah.
I do find it hard to believe that Kirk Cousins just overnight smashed into the wall. Maybe, you know, maybe another offseason rehab. I don't know.
Maybe he's not all the way back from the Achilles.
That's what I'm wondering.
I'm just
wondering.
He's a statue. And
yeah,
the days of just being a statue quarterback, there aren't that many of those guys left.
Yeah. No,
he's getting up there in years, too.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So your divisional matchups are set Saturday. Houston. Here's Houston playing the 4:30 game.
Mm-hmm.
Houston will be in Kansas City, 4:30. That's on ESPN. Of course, Washington is playing at Detroit, 8 o'clock on Fox. Your Sunday games, the Rams now will travel to Philadelphia, 3 o'clock on NBC. That'll be a rematch of a game earlier this year. Remember, earlier this year, Saquon Barkley ran for 255 yards against the Rams.
That's a lot. That's a lot of yardage. Last time I checked,
they beat them 37-20. I believe that was in LA.
So, getting back to Lions Commanders for a second, we're going to get Brady and Burkhart. Is that going to be the team?
Isn't that the number one Fox team?
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah, I would assume, yeah.
Get to watch Brady, EB, Saturday night.
He didn't bother me the last time I watched him do
He's
a call. What did he do? The Eagles
He's just
game?
Boring. Yeah. He doesn't bother you, he just offers nothing. Although at one point he did say something. I can't remember what game it was. If it was this past weekend. What game did he do this past weekend?
Eagles-Packers.
Oh, yeah. It was the Eagles-Packers. And he criticized Love without criticizing. Like, he basically said, that's a throw that you know is low percentage. That's a throw I would, you know, basically saying it was a throw he made in the end zone, like against his body going the other way. And he goes, that's such a low percentage throw. That's a throw I don't make. Mm-hmm. Essentially is what he was saying. And that kind of insight,
that's
I
what
like.
He, that's why he's there, yeah.
I like
why.
That kind of insight.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. Did you see the story that he may have cost himself $90 million because of the TikTok video that he shot?
No, I did not hear this.
He re-ruptured his Achilles.
He wishes TikTok was already banned. Would have saved him $90 million.
And he posted a video on social media on December 26th. He pulled over the side of the road to dance with his girlfriend.
God,
and people noticed.
Horrible content.
That he didn't have his walking boot. He was just wearing normal sneakers.
Oh.
Well, according to the story, it may be a stretch, but they say typically a re-tear rate is low for a ruptured Achilles tendon when treated properly in recovery.
Right.
Patients are typically relegated to a walking boot for at least 3 months.
Mm.
he said he rolled his ankle. But if you have a walking boot, it's hard to roll your ankle. So they may be like, dude,
when did he have the surgery?
You weren't doing your thing. It was 62 days.
I get it. It's a pain in the ass to wear that boot. Most people I know that have worn those boots, they try to get out of them as quick as they can.
Forgive me if I don't cry for Deshaun Watson losing $90 million.
No one cares about
him. Anyway.
He's a pretty awful human being.
It's kind of a contractual out possibly for the team where they could void the contract saying he didn't do what he was supposed to be doing during rehab.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Finally, something good comes out of TikTok, if that's the case. We can only hope.
Well, I'm sure Cleveland upper management would do anything in their power to get out of that contract.
I freaking love it.
I'm not sure that would be enough. I just think it's so common for people to to ditch their boots.
So
didn't D'Angelo Hall like re-tear his Achilles like cooking a pizza in his kitchen back in the day?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
It's not super uncommon.
Sure.
Find it hard to believe that you tear your Achilles cooking a pizza.
Right, just throwing it. DiGiorno into the oven.
No, but if you slip or something. I remember my son slipped on a wet floor right after his ACL, and I was panicked that he re-tore it.
Yeah.
It can happen.
All right, so you got the Rams playing Philadelphia on Sunday. That's the first game. And then the second game, just a monster game. Ravens in Buffalo. I haven't checked the weather yet, Matt. Have you checked the weather in Buffalo? I heard 8 degrees and possible snow.
I heard cold. Not that windy. I didn't hear snow.
All right. So that's the 6:30 game on CBS. Of course, that'll be Romo and
is that the Saturday or Sunday game?
That's the Sunday. That's the last game of the weekend.
This is. I know Skins fans don't understand this. They often get upset with me. They are upset with me that I said I was happy for Jahan. Like the diehards are so. They're like, F him. Right. He's an Eagle now.
Dead to us.
It's like. Okay, whatever. He didn't do anything to you.
Right.
You know, you root for him to do okay. Maybe not against us. But, you know, when the Skins aren't on, I root for the Ravens. I don't have a problem with rooting for the Ravens.
It's
fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
AFC squad.
I have friends that, like, their husbands or whatever are Ravens fans or they're Ravens, and they hate the Skins.
There's definitely a lot of that.
Oh my God, they run so hard against us.
Territoriality.
And I don't know. I think Lamar's butt fun to watch. I think Derrick Henry's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And they're based in the state that you live in. You live in Maryland.
Yeah. If push came to shove, I'd rather my team do better.
Sure.
Obviously. But I don't mind rooting
for
them.
If you're a Commanders fan, you can still watch the Ravens games.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay
I don't have to root for the Bills.
To digest that content.
I'm going to watch that game and root for the Ravens.
I just want to see intriguing matchups. So Baltimore in Kansas City or Buffalo in Kansas City is just a great matchup. I don't want to see Baltimore in Houston. Or I don't even know who would host that. I guess Baltimore would host if Houston beat Kansas City.
Yeah, Baltimore's the higher seed.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to see Houston. There's nothing intriguing by them.
You're not.
Probably
not. You're not going to see Houston. You'll see them this weekend. You're not going to see them after this weekend.
A lot of people assumed that last week.
That is
true. I believe Rex Ryan said the Chargers had a bye.
And I know that the Chiefs.
And Mixon went back at him. Joe Mixon was like, yeah, you said they had a bye. Now they're done.
The Chiefs have been escaping in a lot of these games, but I think they're going to handle the Texans.
They should. And then Baltimore, Buffalo. It's just a great matchup.
By the way, EB mentioned enjoying Derrick Henry. His stiff arm ability has been lauded for years.
Yeah.
Micah Fitzpatrick? Whoever he just threw down was humiliated. And then Dallas Goedert, did you watch that one?
Well, he got his guy three times.
Yeah, I don't know how that guy even goes back to like a film session. He just got completely.
That's one where he just calls out sick.
Well, he's dominating.
He's half the size of Goddard.
But Goddard he threw him, then he basically punched him in the face and threw him down again.
If you're a little guy, you're a little guy.
Gotta go low.
You gotta go after the leg.
He was trailing him. It's hard to tackle him low. Like he just had to grab onto whatever he could.
Yeah.
Turns out he was grabbing onto fists in his face, basically.
Right.
Which stinks. It's never fun.
The Derrick Henry thing with how, you know, like the theory is running backs after 3 or 4 years are pretty much
washed.
Yeah. I mean, their prime is in the first couple years. Mm-hmm. But Derrick Henry's been in this prime for 10 years.
He's an outlier freak.
He's the best way to describe it.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's so crazy. All right, when we come back, could Coach Prime be coming to Dallas? Mike McCarthy is out. Will Coach Prime replace him? We'll get into that next, and we'll take your calls as well at 800-636-1067. We're the Junks. We'll be right back. Coming up very shortly, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Post Malone at Northwest Stadium. That concert is Monday, June 2nd. So keep listening for your chance to win. It's coming up shortly. All right, so Mike McCarthy is out in Dallas. He's out.
Kind of surprised because, remember, the Bears requested to interview him, and the Cowboys said, no, Mike McCarthy's under contract. You're not allowed to interview him. And then a week later, they set him free.
Well, so now Mike McCarthy is in the coaching carousel, so that leaves the Dallas Cowboys head coaching position open. A name that's being bandied about is Coach Prime from Colorado. Maybe he should listen to what Troy Aikman has to say about the Dallas Cowboys opening. We have that audio here.
Well, I thought Mike McCarthy would be the head coach. So this is a bit of a surprise for me today that he's not going to be. And what went into those conversations that Schefter talked about, I'm not exactly sure. But it suggests that there's not a real plan. I mean, and the fact that they haven't had the opportunity to maybe interview a Ben Johnson and some of these others, Aaron Glenn. I think that what Schefter said as far as Kellen Moore being a candidate, that seems logical to me. A guy who has familiarity with the building. He's worked, obviously, with the Cowboys and with Jerry Jones, and they know each other very well. In fact, when Mike McCarthy got the job, it was told to Mike that Kellen Moore would be the offensive coordinator. So that's how much the Jones family thinks of him. Beyond that, it's hard to imagine. As far as a coveted job, I don't know that that's accurate. I mean, really? I do think the Cowboys are obviously a high-profile team. Whoever is covering or whoever is head coach of that team is certainly going to draw a lot of attention. But I think most football people that take over as a head coach, they want to do it on their terms.
And that's fair.
That's hard to do. And it's, you know, if you take a Dan Campbell, for instance, is Dan Campbell Dan Campbell if he's with the Dallas Cowboys? It's hard to imagine that he is. It's hard to imagine that a lot of these coaches might be. So you know, I love the Dallas Cowboys. I played there for 12 years. I wish them well. But to say that it's a coveted job, I'm not sure I would necessarily agree with that.
Does he have a strained relationship with Jerry?
I don't know what his relationship is like with Jerry.
Because I can't imagine that goes over great. Even though I agree with everything he said.
Sure.
But that's irrelevant. The truth of it is irrelevant as far as if you wanted to maintain a good relationship with Jerry.
I think it's a coveted job in that there's only 32 NFL jobs. And that's a high-profile job, as he said. And I think Deion is a deserving candidate. If you look what he did at Jackson State, turned it around. 4-3, 11-2, 12-1. You look what he's done at Colorado, 4-8, 9-4. Now, I don't know if he'll be successful, but college coaches get chances, you know, fairly often in the NFL. And they have a reputation for failing, but some have succeeded. Matt Rhule failed. Urban Meyer failed. But why not Deion?
Give him the job, I'll bet strongly against him.
It seems like a typical
Jerry
Jones.
I don't
think
his shtick's going to work in the NFL.
Splashy hire. Please, I'm begging for Jerry Jones to hire Prime. And any Commanders fan should be overjoyed at the fact that Jerry Jones is continuing to run the Dallas Cowboys into his 80s. Like you should be down on your knees praying and thanking God that that's happening.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't worry about the other teams.
Adam Peters is running this show. He's running the personnel department. Dallas is a mess. They've got an 80-plus-year-old running their personnel department in Jerry Jones.
That
is such a win for the rest of the NFC East.
Yeah. And look, and Prime is losing his sons because they're moving on to the NFL or graduating, whatever. You know, Travis Hunter, the best player, the Heisman Trophy winner, will be in the NFL. The Cowboys, you know, they don't technically need a quarterback because they have Dak.
Yeah.
But, you know, what is the plan for Dak? I mean, he's had two pretty serious injuries in the last 4 years. He still has a couple years on a big contract. They're drafting 12. He's not drafting.
The first year of his mega extension.
Yeah, is it a four-year extension?
4 years, $240 million.
Jason, do you think that Deion's shtick will work in the NFL? I find it hard to believe. Now, maybe he's so idolized by guys that they'll tolerate it. I find it hard to believe. I think he's a great fit in college.
He's a great fit in college because he's a really good recruiter. I'm not sure what kind of an X's and O's guys he is. He probably
can hire those guys. He doesn't have to be.
Yeah, he can just be kind of a GM on the sideline. But
I think that's kind of what he is. He hires a good offense coordinator. I don't remember who the offense coordinator is in Colorado.
That's what he could do here. I mean, he's a leader. Dallas. Yeah. So I don't know. It comes down to the quarterback play and how much talent.
He's a leader, but he has no pro experience. None.
Other than he played,
but I mean, head coaching experience.
I'm not going to hold that.
Okay, head coaching experience. They hired Jason Garrett years ago. Now he retired and then worked his way up as quarterback's coach and then offense coordinator and then became a head coach. This is a guy who has college experience. It happens.
And it definitely happens. I just think his shtick won't work. That's my only opinion.
I don't know how important the shtick would be.
To bet against Deion because he's been successful wherever he's been. I give the guy credit. I don't know.
I don't know if he'll be successful. And what Troy says about the situation and what Cake says about Jerry Jones on the show, that is relevant to any coach's success. But I don't see why Deion Sanders couldn't be a Mike Tomlin-like figure. Mike Tomlin isn't known as an X's and O's guy. He has an offensive coordinator. He has a defensive coordinator. He makes decisions. He kind of sets the standard, as he says.
Yeah, I don't think
obviously hasn't been great success.
I don't think Joe Gibbs was an X's and O's guy per se. They have coordinators, whatever. I mean, Joe Gibbs was,
early on, especially.
Yeah, but
why do you think Deion wouldn't be successful, Cakes? You've always had a little vitriol for Deion. I know you don't like his shtick.
No vitriol. I would seriously question elevating him to head coach in the NFL without any sort of coordinator experience. I think it's a big gamble, personally. And I think it just smacks of Jerry Jones wanting to own the offseason, get headlines, bring more attention. Well,
obviously,
to
he did it with Jimmy Johnson.
Okay, that was 40 years ago.
I know,
35 years ago.
I'm saying that. You know, he's had success, and there are other coaches who come from the college ranks.
I think it's a great idea for the Dallas Cowboys to hire Coach Prime. Please hire Coach Prime, and let's see what happens.
Maybe. I mean, it could work out. Who knows? But again, it comes down to what is their plan with their quarterback position. They've got it. If Dak Prescott is still their future for the next 4 years, I think they're going to struggle. I really do.
I'm torn on Dak.
He's 32 years old, coming off a major injury.
He's decent.
He's decent, man. And he could get hot.
He's had pretty big injuries, missed
he's
a lot of time.
He's better than decent. He was second in the MVP last year, wasn't he?
But he gets judged by what he does in the postseason, which has been nothing.
His current contract situation is next year scheduled to make $47.75 million. The year after that, $40 million. And maybe they're outs. After a couple of years, actually, according to SpotRack, the potential out is 2028.
But I think Deion would
think he got a run with Dak.
I think there's probably no other choice. But I think he desperately would want to coach his son. Now, how are you going to get Shador Sanders there when you're drafting 12 and the top three teams in the draft all need quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, would they mortgage their future to move up to 2 or 3 so they could draft Shador? I don't know. Maybe they would.
I don't know. Good position for Deion to be in because he could just stay at Colorado. Like, he's had that success and built the program up in just 2 seasons to now have interest in the NFL. And I would think other teams would be interested in him.
Deion?
Yeah. Why not?
I got to say, you guys don't watch
Land. Don't think a shtick will work.
You guys don't watch Landman.
I don't watch Landman.
Which is a great show.
Doesn't
on
Jerry
Paramount.
Jones do, like, guest spots?
Well, he did one guest spot in the last episode.
Looking for that glory hole.
I heard it was excellent.
But he wasn't acting.
Right.
Because he's not an actor.
Mm-hmm.
He was unbelievable.
Was he really?
Yes. He's talking to John Hamm.
Okay.
John Hamm is in his hospital bed because he's had a heart attack. He had bypass surgery.
Because all the blood went to his big, giant Louisville slugger. He couldn't get enough to his heart.
I can't see John Hamm and not think about that.
I know. Yeah. I'm saying. Yeah. It's
what were you saying, Lawrence?
And Jerry Jones is in the show is a friend of John Hamm's because he's in the oil business. Jerry Jones was in the oil business.
Got a big hole.
Jerry Jones talks about how he started in the oil business and how he was working with his kids.
Sure.
And that's what drove him. And he starts to cry.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to get emotional. He's not acting. He's telling his story. He was unbelievable.
And it's just part of the show.
It's incredible.
Didn't he say something like he bought the Cowboys so he could work with his kids?
He bought the Cowboys with the oil money and so he could work with his kids, yeah. But he...
Well, he said he bought the money. He said, I bought this for me, for a job. He said, did you buy this to pass down to your kids? He goes, no, bought it for me.
Did you see it?
No, but I think in the acting thing, he might have said something different.
He did. He sells it. It's incredible. I couldn't believe Jerry Jones was that good.
He won't win an Emmy,
and he's
Jerry Jones.
And he's starting to cry.
Yeah.
And John Hamm is starting to cry in the hospital. Now, Hamm's an actor.
Right.
But I'm wondering
so good in the town.
I'm wondering if what Jerry Jones is telling him is actually making him emotional. It's really cool.
Cakes, who promoted, like, who's the PR person that promoted John Hamm's Got the Massive Johnson?
I think it might have just been like a TMZ story.
It was like Perez Hilton. No, Perez Hilton had like a picture of him like walking outside
and you just see like a
restaurant.
Bulge.
You see the bulge, you see the outline of it.
So it wasn't an ex-girlfriend or something that did like Andy Cohen show or something and said that he's got some massive member.
No. You could see the outline of it in his Dockers.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't even need a PR person for it. Just a picture.
Pretty good.
It's the best kind. That's the best kind of the PR you can get.
It certainly is. All right, when we come back, we will hit the Skins as they get ready to take on the Lions. But I told you Prize Pigs to keep listening. Caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to score a pair of tickets to see Post Malone at Northwest Stadium. Monday, June 2nd is the date. Tickets are on sale right now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. 10th caller on the MGM National Harbor Lister line wins.